specific Kabbalah say when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah. So it was presented in Shalai and there were no breaks between words. It's all, Ramban writes, it's all Shmosh HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So from Bereshit, and any Kodosh Baruch Hu, it's one long word. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu had explained to him how Lamait and Alam Haza, we could break it up, be able to read it. So see, this year, as I read it in the Gevah, I almost have Yoyin, isn't it? The Gevah's right, brother. So about to begin a new sugya, the sugya of Truklin and Teresa. So I see that even to define those terms, Truklin and Teresa, are tough terms, and the Mechagis show them what they are. It's Mechagis Megumah what they are. So it's not, you can't hold anybody responsible for not giving a accurate translation. So Truklin and Teresa, though it is a topic in of itself, it's really in a certain sense just a continuation of the previous two topics. But we spend a lot of time talking about what constitutes Lechem, primarily to the sugya of HaParashas Challah. That's where the sugya really began. But of course, our major interest was concerning brachas. The Gemara makes the jump between challah and brachas. We saw that for many halachas are the same, for certain nuances of halachas are different. So it's in this context that the Gemara begins to discuss these two different types of bread-related foods called truklin and teresa. And the Gemara discusses them both concerning challah and concerning brachas. But of course, it's not clear from the Gemara, from the Rishonim, what exactly the Gemara actually says about them. So let's just give just a little bit of a background to the sugya, starting off with Hilchos Challah, and see how it plays out in terms of Hilchos Brachos. So the Gemara quotes a statement on the Baruch Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, the first of the Ramakomas, that Truklin Chayovin B'Challah, B'Chiyasa Rabna Rav Yochanan, Truklin Peturim in Achallah, which is the question whether that line even exists. According to many, we show them that line of the second statement of Rav Yochanan doesn't even exist, that there never was a statement that Truklin Peturim in Achallah. So we're going to assume for now that it doesn't exist. We're going to assume like the first line of the Gemara, the Truklin are in fact Chayov Mechallah. And then the Gemara asks, my Truklin, I'm Rabbi Kuva Da'ara. And in contrast to this, the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Trisa Peturim in Achallah, my Trisa Economic Vil Mirsach. That's all we need in terms of our sugya. But the Gemara tells us that Truklin is Chayav Mechallah, and Trisa is Peturim in Achallah. Truklin is Kuva Da'ara, translated by the Gemara, and Trisa is, at least according to one Lashon, Vil Mirsach. What in the world does any of this mean? So the way many of the Rishonim present, Rashi begins to present it this way, and then the Rosh elaborates upon it, and this is generally what's assumed, that the difference between Truklin and Teresa is as follows, that neither of them are baked in a classic way, neither of them are an actual dough in the classic sense of the word that are baked in an oven, but rather Truklin is baked in a hole. Now where this hole is, Kuva Da'ara seems to give me the impression that it's a hole actually in the ground itself. That's the way the Rambam translates it to mean that a person digs a hole in the ground and takes some of firewood, a very makeshift quick oven. The Rambam describes like the Yishmaelim and the Kibbutz, the Rambam says that's what they do. They make, rather than carrying, schlepping a big heavy oven with them, so they make a makeshift oven, they make a little bit of a hole in the ground, and you take this. We're not even sure if this is a dough, is this a batter, unclear exactly what it is. It's definitely flour and water, no question about that. You flour and water, you throw it into this makeshift hole in the ground, so that is chayav and challah. Why is that chayav and challah? So the answer is that's considered to be bread. It's my nafkamina, whether it's a fancy self-cleaning oven, whether it's a fancy matzah oven, a bacon oven, or if it's a hole in the ground. A hole in the ground, which has the source of fire in it. The dough or batter, whatever it is heating up, turning into a crispy bread. So that is considered to be lechem pasha tzachol v'niyat Torah. So therefore, it's chayev and challah. In contrast to truklin, what is teresa? So teresa, again, Rashi begins the discussion and the Rosh elaborates upon it. Teresa means something similar to a pancake. You take this batter, and rather than putting it into an oven, or rather than putting it even into a hole as a one unit, as one big clump of dough, what you do is you pour it over the top of the stove, and the Rosh says it's this pashet tfei, it spreads out, and now it becomes more of a pancake type of a food, rather than clumped together as a challah roll. So says the Rosh, that's what Tree says, and Tree says Peturim in a challah. So according to the way Rov HaRishonim read, that is the difference between Truklin and Teresa. Neither of them are made in the conventional oven, but whereas Truklin is made in the tzura of the lechem, it's made as a unit, as a roll, even though the source of the baking is a little bit different. So it's one entity, it's one unit, therefore it's chayev and chal, that's called lechem akosav haTorah. Teresa is not even lechem akosav haTorah because it's more of a pancake, it's a batter, it's just spilled over the top of the stovetop, and that's not at all considered to be in the family of lechem. So this was all the Gemara said about the topic. We would understand there's a very specific halachic connotation of lechem, and Trupa meets that connotation, and Trisa falls short in terms of that. So then the Gemara complicates things a little bit further, and the second one about the Kamos, the Gemara begins to discuss on Lamed Ches and Aleph, Amli Abayla of Yosef, Haikuva da'ara ma'im v'archini laveh. What bracha do you recite on this food called kuva de'ara? Now, we just learned a minute ago, the kuva de'ara seems to be trupin. That was the Abayi translation of the word trupin. So, l'chora, what the Gemara is asking is that even though kuva de'ara is chayv and chala, doesn't necessarily mean that you recite hamotzi on it. Now, we've already learned. Trisa is more of a liquid thing, but the key, according to the Rosh, is that it's on the top of the stove rather than in an empty like an oven or a home. Not necessarily. Certain batters are chayav and challah. We'll talk about that a little bit further as we go on. We haven't really touched on that part yet. So Abaye raises the question to Rav Yosef, this kuva de'ara, which we think is synonymous with truklin, that's the Gemara seemed to say before, what is the bracha on it? So the Gemara says, I'm going to be sabras navahu. Do you think that it's really bread? Kupla de'avu, it's literally just a clump. Levachin alei bar menei mezonos. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that the Gemara is now distinguishing between challah and hamotzi. That even though trupin is chayv and challah for some reason, it falls short in terms of hamotzi. And then the Gemara retracts that. Mazutra, kavos udase ilavei, ubirich ilavei hamotzi lechem in haaretz shalosh brachos. The Gemara relates that mazutra was kiveya suuda on this kuva de'ara, which we think is still trupin, and he in fact recited hamotzi, and he recited birchas hamotzi on it. Here, the Gemara is telling us a double chiddush. The Gemara is telling us, according to Mazutra, which seems to be the Maskana Sagemari, seems to get the last word in, is that this kuva da'ara, this truknin, is potentially lechem. You can't just mach it avek and just call it mizonah type of food. It is lechem. So not only is it lechem vis-a-vis challah, but it's lechem vis-a-vis hamotzi and bechaz hamotzi as well, with a little bit of a quirk that it's only called lechem when you conveya su'udah on it. If you eat a significant amount of it, then it's considered to be lechem, and if not, then it's for sure. That category of something being lechem, depending on how much you eat, is not such a foreign concept to us. We find this in the sugya possibly kistin. We haven't talked about this yet, but there's a sugya later on that's an amazing brachas about cookies and cakes, different types of foods that also are quasi-bread and quasi-not bread. That means if you eat enough of it, then it's considered to be bread and you wash and bench. If you don't eat enough, then it's considered to be like cereal, like pasta, and you would only recite a bracha of mizonos. So that concept of having something that is considered to be bread, depending on how much you eat, is something which has a precedent in halacha. We're going to have to leave out the details of that until we get to the sugya of Nambez. If we ever get to the sugya of Nambez. So getting back to our sugya, the way the Gemara seems to conclude is that this trupnin is basically bread. It's bread both concerning hilchos challah and concerning hilchos hamotzi. We don't quite know why you're required to be a suda. That's a sticky point in the sugya. Hopefully we'll get to it as we proceed. But at least in terms of the basic question, is trupnin called bread? So the answer is yes. It's bread for challah. It's bread for hamotzi. What about trisa? Trisa presumably is nothing. Trisa is not bread. The trisa which is spread out on the batter of the pancake on top of the grill. So trisa is not chayv and challah. If it's not chayv and challah, then presumably there's no hamotzi on it. It wouldn't matter how much you eat. You have 100 pieces of trisa. You're still qualified for making hamotzi. The same as having 100 bowls of cereal. If it's not bread, it's not bread. So that's the way the Gemara seems to present. Trukna and trisa are different. Trukna is fundamentally bread. Trisa is not fundamentally bread. Two nafkamin is ladina, challah and brachas. And again, it's a little bit of a sticky point. We're not sure why Kaviyah Suda plays a role b'chlal in terms of trukna, but hopefully we'll explain that a little bit later on. So the way we just presented the sugya now is clearly the way the Gemara presents according to our Girsa. This is the presentation of the Rosh and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. This is the regular standard conventional wisdom, but I just presented to you. However, there is another approach in the Rishonim, and that's the approach of the Tur. The Tur concludes that which the Gemara said, that there's a difference between Kaviyah Suda versus not Kaviyah Suda, was not referring to truknin, was not referring to the bread that's being baked, to the clump of dough that's being baked in the hole in the ground, but rather that distinction of kviyas versus not kviyas was going back to the sugya of trisa, not the truknin. What about truknin, says the Torah? Truknin is regular bread. It might not be where it's baked. It's baked in a hole in the ground, it's baked in the oven, it's baked in a pizza oven, it's not the oven. It's regular bread, and therefore, says the Torah, truknin is chayas and challah, no question about it. Trupin, you recite hamotzi on it, you wash, you bench, No question, because I, you have to bench, there's no dinner for Yisudan, Kukrin, it's Lachem Gomer HaKosu, Lachol Dini HaTorah. Teresa is a tricky one, says the Torah. Teresa, it depends. In Uchas Chala, it's totally potter, because that's what the Gemara said. We had a bride, the Raisa started out by saying that the Rabbi Yechon started out by saying that Teresa Pturim in a Chala. So there's no question that Teresa is Pturim in a Chala. But says the Torah, notwithstanding the fact that Teresa is Pturim in a Chala, you still can miss out on Melchiona. If you Kaveh Suda, again, why Kaveh Suda should play a role or not, we're still not sure. But there exists a possibility, according to the Torah, of the type of a food that is potter from challah, yet you recite a motzi on it. That's what comes out from the Torah in this sugya. Something which, at first glance, is pilei ployim. That how exactly the Torah got this from the Gemara is a question in the later Mefarshim about the way our gears in the Gemara doesn't seem to bear this out at all. Then the Rif seems to have a different gears in the Gemara. So we're not going to go into the technical details of how the Torah got his shita from the text of the Gemara itself, but suffice it to say the Torah says in the Feirish that Shruklin is mamash lachem l'chol dini atayra, and you always make a motzi no matter what. Teresa is basically lechem v'luchas brachos, but it's not at all lechem for Hilchas Challah. And that's really the question we have to deal with today. How are you talking to Varkazah? How can we explain away? How can we defend logically such a position that something is considered to be Lechem Hilchas Brachos? We could say with a straight face, I'm Meitzi Lechem in Aretz on it. Yet, we have no qualms about not being Mafish Challah. Isn't Challah a function of Lechem? Haven't we been learning this sugya for the last 3 weeks? That Challah and Lechem, Lechem and Challah, Meitzi and Challah is all the same sugya. Haven't the Torah turn around and question that basic ironclad equation? How are you talking to Varkazah that it can be potem in a challah, yet you recite the bracha of the
Moses? We've learned already something could be chayav a challah, but not.
Very good. But we haven't seen the other way around, though.
Okay. But the other way around.
that's what we're going to try to defend. We'll try to show is that a valid statement or not. So comes the drisha. Is Perish in the bottom of the Torah. The Drisha were two parts of this Perish in the Torah, the Prisha and the Drisha. Based on the Gemara, says that one of the Tanoim used to darshan every S, whenever it said the word S in the Torah, so he had a special drasha for it. And then he got to S Hashem L'Kechatira, and then he realized, what's he going to include to be like their Varsham? So he stopped. So the Talmidim asked him, what happened to all the drashas for the last 22 years? So he said, Kishem Shekidal Kibalti Schala Drisha, Tacha Kabal Schala Prisha. In the same way that I've received reward from the Rav Hashanah for darshaning the 22 years of Esim, so to the Rav Hashanah will reward me for being intellectually honest and not darshaning Esim from here on in. So the Trisha and the Prisha were those are two sides of the same coin. So he wrote this different Rushim on the bottom of the Torah. So in this Sefer Drisha, so the Drisha goes the same route basically that Rabbi Bruckheim is taking. Comes the Drisha and says, who says that Chala and Hamotzi are Tali Zebizah? Says the Drisha, I'm going to show you that, in fact, they're not totally different. Said the Drisha, let me explain to you. Why is it that Chala and Hamotzi are fundamentally different from one another? Says the Drisha, the Pasuk in Chumash. What's the Mechayev of Chala? What's the key word that's the Mechayev in Chala? Isa. The Torah says, Reishas Arisei Seichem. Reishas Seichem means Isa, a dough. Says the Drisha, the existence of a dough is prerequisite number one for a Chiyav Chala. If you have a dough, then we can discuss challah. If you're lacking in the dough, then there's nothing to talk about. That's the mechayev of challah. What's the mechayev of the brach of hamotzi, or the mechayev of brachas hamazon, the mechayev of the tol shidayim, is lechem, hamotzi lechem in our eretz ha-shalom, miskirus tocho ba'al lechem. Lechem is the keveya in terms of the brach of hamotzi. Says the Drisha, we usually think isha and lechem, it's all the same thing. You start off with an isha, you put it into another, it turns into a lechem. Says the Drisha, no, that's what we made a mistake. That one can differentiate between something which is called an Isa, yet not called Lechem, and vice versa. So says the Drisha, what is Teresa? So if you think about it, what is Teresa? Teresa is, you take this battery kind of a food, and you pour it on top of the stovetop, and it bakes up, cooks up, I don't know what happens to it, it looks like a pancake, I guess, at the end. So says the Drisha, what is that? Is that called the Isa? Is that called Lechem? So he says, well, the answer to those questions is one yes and one no. Is it called an Isa? So he says, how can you call that an Isa? An Isa means a dough. A dough means, a believe it means a thick dough. That's, you know, a clump of dough. Whatever, I've never baked challah, I've never baked masas. No, that's what an Isa is. An Isa is a clump of dough you hold in your hand. That's called a dough. That's called an Isa. So therefore, Teresa falls short in terms of the shame Isa. So the Mela is going to be Potter Michala. Masha'enke, can it be called Lechem? So says the Jerisha. What's the definition of lechem? That's flour, which comes from Chamesh Minadom. It has water. It's now edible. It's been made somehow by heat, by fire. A nafkamina, whether it was inside an oven, a nafkamina, whether it was inside a hole in the ground, a nafkamina was made on top of the stove. At the end of the day, you have flour from the Chamesh Minadom. You have water. It's now, it was affected by the fire. It's now edible. Sure, you have lechem in front of you. So says the Jerisha, guess what? Teresa is, yes, lechem, but it's not isa. And that explains conceptually why the halacha is that it's potter min hachala, because it's lacking the shem isa, but yet you recite the bracha hamotzi. So conceptually, this drisha is something that should really ring a bell in our minds, because this is something that we already learned, as Rabbi Brookham already said before, this is something we've already seen, this distinction between isa and lechem, albeit in the other directions. If you remember, we spoke last week, 2 weeks ago, about the Tchilasa Isa, the Sofa Sufkinin. We learned about a Mishnah Chala, about a certain type of food that starts out as a hard dough, that was never baked in the oven. Rather than being baked in the oven, it was thrown into a pot of soup. Tchilasa Isa, the Sofa Sufkinin. So we gave some examples, the wontons, the kreplach, the jelly donuts. Starts out as a thick dough, and then it becomes cooked or deep fried, rather than actually baked in an oven. So what is the status of this type of a dough? So Rabbi Tamid is reading in the Mishnah, Maseches Chala, that it's Chayav and Chala. That was Rabbi Tamid's version of the Mishnah. Isa Shkos, Isa Sofasufkinin, is Chayav and Chala. In the Torah, Chayav and Chala. Came Tamid Rabbeinu Yona and said, Chala, yes, but Hamotzi, no. Argued the Tamid Rabbeinu Yona against Tosfos, remember from last week, argued Tamid Rabbeinu Yona b'Da'as Rabbeinu Tam, that the jelly donuts, or the kremlach, the wontons, you're not going to recite Hamotzi on it. What's the Svar L'Chala? So Tamir Ben Yon explains explicitly that Chala is a function of Isa, whereas Hamotzi is a function of Lechem. So Isa is defined by Bli La'ava. Isa and Bli La'ava are synonymous with one another, whereas Lechem is defined by Afu Lach B'chem B'tana Recha. You need a Maisa Tanur. You need an oven to create. You need an Afia in order to create Lechem. Bishul or Tigla, deep frying, cannot create the Shem Lechem. So therefore, Tamir Rabbeinu Yona concluded that a kreplach of the chayv and chala, absolutely minat toyer with the chayv and chala. Do you wash and bench and make a moitzi on them? So says Tamir Rabbeinu Yona, b'das Rabbeinu Tam, absolutely not, because they're not called lechem. They're not lechem at all, because lechem is a function of a fi and not a function of bishul. So we've already seen a distinction. We already have seen b'das Rabbeinu Yona, b'das Rabbeinu Tam, this distinction between chala and lechem, chala and hamotzi, for the very same reason that the drisha is saying b'das hatur. So if we think about it, teresa and kreplach are halachically opposites of one another. Why is that? Teresa is not an isa, but it is a lechem. Whereas kreplach are yes an isa, but they're not a lechem. If you think about it, that teresa, which is a battery kind of a food, which is spilling kind of a food, it's not a clump together, so it's not called an isa, therefore the Torah concedes, it's potter min hachala. But since it is prepared through fire, and it's not prepared in a pot of soup, it's prepared just through a fire itself, so the Torah understood that that's called the shem lechem, and therefore you recite a motzi on it. So teresa is not isa, but yes lechem. Whereas kreplach, according to Rabbi Tam, is the opposite. That it is called an isa, because it's a hard dough, therefore it is chayav and chala, but it's not called lechem, and therefore the bracha is not going to be hamotzi. So the mamish absolute opposites are like 180 degree opposites of one another. Isa, the teresa is a non-isa with a shem lechem, whereas kreplach are yes a shem isa without a shem lechem.
According to the Torah. According to, going back to the beginning, according to the most of the children, teresa was...
Teresa is nothing. It's not even an isa, it's not a lechem, it's a garnished. According to most of the children, you would never ever recite anything, never say a mochi and teresa.
And the reason not lechem, because it doesn't have tsuras lechem at the end, even though it's flour or water.
It could be that lechem means, that's not called really a nice afia, that's called just a... I don't know what it's called. It's called Nispashin Alakira. That's not called Afiya B'tanur.
The Chiyuv of Chala is after you bake?
No, the Chiyuv of Chala kicks in at the time.
When do you mafish Chala?
You can be mafish it right away. You can mafish it any time you have to make it into an Isa.
but most people do it after.
No, usually they do it before. Usually they do it. They throw some of the dough before they throw it in the oven. You know, by master bakeries you do it afterwards because you don't want to waste time and start the rav shchal while it's the dough. But usually in regular bakeries they just take it off for the shasha. So this pshat of the drisha sounds gevaldik. It's not even so innovative because it's building on something that we're already familiar with. However, it appears of Fini Azaiti that it is, well, I don't want to use the word absolutely impossible to say, but I think it's just about absolutely impossible to advance such a pshat with that tour, and I'll tell you why.
You're moving
out to Prisha. To Prisha. From this pshat of drisha. So I'll explain to you why. There is a machlekes that we've shown him about the following shayla. We've spoke about the lila ova shenis bashla, the kreplach, the wontons, the jelly dolls, whether it's chayv and chala. Let's flip the shayla around a little bit. What about a lila raka shenefa? What would that locha be if you take a batter and you take the batter and you throw it into an oven and you bake it up? What would that locha be? Would that be chayv and chala or potim and chala? That's the machlekes of Rishonim. So the Ruba, the Rishonim hold that such an entity would be chayeves in chala, and that's a classic cake. So a sponge cake, a honey cake. It's a battery kind of a food. You put it into a baking dish, throw it into the oven. It bakes up. That's a b'liwa rakash in efa. So according to Ruba Rishonim, that cake is chayev in chala. The Ramban happens to disagree. We're going to talk about this a little bit later on. The Ramban has a whole different reading of the Mishnah of the Sefer Chala, and he concludes that it's part of Chala. To see how this plays out with mice a little bit later on in the Sugya. But Ruben the Shem hold that such a cake or any kind of food, which is a blue rakash and efah, is in fact chayavas b'chala. What does that statement mean, that a blue rakash and efah is chayavas b'chala? What that basically means is that we can conceive of a chi of chala even if it doesn't have the shem Isa. Isa is always synonymous with Lila Ova. What those Yishonim are really telling us is that there are two different mechayvim and chala. True, the Torah uses the word reishis arisa seichem, which sounds like chala is Isa oriented, but the Torah also uses another magic word. It says, ba'acholchem yilechem ha'aretz. When you eat from the bread of the land, you're also chayv and chala. According to most of the Yishonim, Isa is an independent mechayev of chala, and lechem is an independent mechayev of chala. You can be chayev and chala just by the mere fact that you meet the criteria called lechem, even if it's not called an Isa. Sponge cake is not called an Isa. Honey cake is not called an Isa. It's a blue laraka. How can you call that an Isa? But lechem it is. It's baked in the oven, so it's considered to be lechem. It may be possible. But it's in the technical category, but we're going to leave that out for now. So according to all these we've shown him, you see a yesod in uchas chala, that even though Isa is very important in uchas chala, it's not the end all. You can conceive of a chi of chala even in the absence of a shem Isa, as long as you've met the criteria of a shem lechem. The tour in uchas chala happens to postulate all those we've shown him. He happens not to quote the Shittas Ramban at all. He postulates like the Rash and the Rosh and the Rambam. All the Rishonim will hold that blu l'raka shenefa is in fact chayevas in chala. If Blila Raka Shenefa is Chayevas and Chala, even though it's lacking the Shem Isa, how in the world can that be the Bior in Teresa? How in the world can anybody tell me that the reason why Teresa is Potter from Chala is because it's not an Isa? Because since it was the Blila Raka, since it was portable, it wasn't a clump, so therefore it's not Chayev and Chala, but it is called Lechem, because after all the Torah himself says that it's, that you make Hamotzi on it. So the Drisha wanted to explain that Hamotzi is a function of Lechem and Chal is a function of Isa. And whenever you're missing Isa, the Shein Isa, it's not Shaykh to be Chayev and Chala. That would be true and would be a wonderful pshat if the Torah passed like the Ramban. But the Torah happens not even to quote the Ramban. It's not even Misyachis to Rishit the Ramban. So the Torah who goes to Ikvas, all the other Rishonim in the Chus Chala, who says that Belila Rata Shenefa, that sponge cake is Chayev and Chala, what is the difference between sponge cake and Teresa? Sponge cake and Teresa are both examples of Blila Rakas Shenefas. They both have a Shem Lechem on them. And if sponge cake, which has a Shem Lechem, is Chayv and Chala, even though it's lacking in the Shem Isa, who are Dinami, Teresa should be Chayv and Chala, even though it's lacking in the Shem Isa also. So the fear is...
But if it's
not Nefa, why do you take a Motzi on it? So the only way to defend why you make a mochi is because it's called lechem. Lechem is always a fiyah. So the fact that Shvi says Potter and Chal in and of itself is not a problem, but it's a problem in light of the fact that the Torah says he make a motzi on it. So if the fact that the Torah says he make a motzi on it, that shows he's treating on the top of the stove as an afiyah, because that's called lechem. So once you tell me that it's called an afiyah, if it's called an afiyah, so that by definition is called lechem. If it's called lechem, by definition it's chayim chal, like the sponge cake. So that's the problem with the Drishas Pshat. So Lefini's idea, it is impossible, just about impossible, to advance the Drishas Pshat Vidasa Tour. So what other options we have available for us? Well, it's very nice to knock somebody else's Pshat and have to come up with your own Pshat. So what is that of the Pshat in the Tour? So comes the Magen Avraham and suggests the following. Comes the Magen Avraham and says, what we're really trying to find is some other precedent in Halacha, some other reason, finding some other model where it's potter from challah, yet you still recite a motzi on it. If you can find me some other type of a model, then I can put tours, in a sense, this treat into that model, into that category as well. Says the Magen Avraham, I found this field. It's in a rush. The rush of this challah has a tremendous chiddush. We don't necessarily even pass this way, and the rush himself may not even know this way. He presented as a possibility. Says the rush, what would that locha be if a person takes flour, and rather than mixing the flour with water, he mixes the flour with some kind of a fruit juice. Or perhaps he mixes the flour with eggs. What would that look like? Oh, like Mount Hashira. Would this type of a mixture, this type of a isa, quote unquote, be chayavas and chala? So the Rush claims, based on Yerushalmi, that it may not be chayavas and chala. It's possible. The Sofik is not sure. It's quite possible, says the Rush, that such an isa is petura min achal legamrei. Yeah, let's go to Chuz Brachos. Would anybody say that if you take flour and you mix it with a fruit juice and you make a kind of a bread out of it, would anybody say that you don't make a motzi on it? So according to some who've shown them, that's what Pasam Abikistan is. Pasam Abikistan is a unique type of a bread that the Gemara Daf Mendez in Bracha says that sometimes you make a motzi on it and sometimes you don't, depending on how much you ate, whether you had kibbutz sunnah or not. At least according to some who shown that the Rambam seems to learn Shana Pasam Abikistan, it's referring to these types of perhaps egg challahs, perhaps it's referring to egg masses, it's referring to apple juice rolls, any of these above are considered to be pasam of a kistin, possibly, according to the Shita Sarambam. And you sometimes do recite emotion on them. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, depending on Kriya Suda. So comes the book of the Brahman says, we discovered the model. I discovered a type of the dough out there, which is potter de challah, at least according to one understanding of the Rosh, one possibility in the Rosh, it's potter from challah. Yet, halach is, you recite a motzi on it. Albeit true, not under all circumstances, but at least b'derech chaviyah suda. So says the Magen Avraham, nistama, the same way that the Rush didn't have any problems distinguishing between chal and a motzi, that it's yitochein, that you can have a dough that's putter from chal, yet you recite a motzi on it, at least under certain circumstances. It's on the tour, it's not too far behind. The tour's treisa is like as part of the Rush's egg masses. It's the same thing. They're both examples of things which challah no, but brichas and motzi yes. So the question is, can we accept this Magen Avraham? We just got finished taking on the drisha. Now we've got a step two. Can we accept this Magen Avraham? Is there really any correlation between the two? So Rafinia's deity, it is also very difficult to suggest this Magen Avraham's pshat in the tour, and I'll tell you why. This idea that you can have a type of a dough that's potter min achala, yet recite a motzi on it, is that such a difficult concept? You can't come up with such an eitzah to find me. I can't find you a model of a dough that you recite a motzi at the dough challah. I'll find you a very, very simple eitzah. You take less than the shear of flour for the chiyuv challah. Take one pound of flour, which is pot in the challah. Mix it up with water. Make yourself a small challah. Make yourself a small batch of bread. And that bread is pot in a challah. And yet you recite a motzi on it. So it's impossible to find something that's potter from challah and that you still make a motzi on it? The answer is, why is that an absurd statement that I just said? Why is that an irrelevant statement? Why is that not relevant to this sugya? I can find, I could dig you up a cake, tachlon ha'iskin, and then challah no, and bracha yes. So the answer is, the reason why a dough, which is less than the shir challah, is potter min ha'challah, that's a technicality. That doesn't affect the very etzem shem of the lechem. That's not a chisorin in the etzem shem isa, the etzem shem lechem. The Torah says there's a sheer b'dover. that the only time there's a mitzvah chala is only if you have a shiur now. Whereas bracha, there's a different shiur. Bracha, there's a shiur of the kizayis. Chala is a shiur of 43 and a fifth egg. It's a different shiur. It's a different shiur tziruf. Matinyin, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about types. We're talking about qualities of bread. We're talking about, is this qualitatively called bread? Is this qualitatively called isa or not? You're going to mix in an issue of quantity, because this is basically bread with chol dini atara. It's just that it's falls short of the shear. My inyan pachas the shear is what we're talking about. So the chayra, that which I threw up as a suggestion, this idea of creating a model of pachas the shear that's pachas the chali in the side of motu, the chayra is totally irrelevant. So the chayra, you have to go back to that rush in the chala. And the Rush tells us, quote the name of the Rishalmi, that it's possible that flour mixed with fruit juice is potem in challah. Why is that? That flour mixed with fruit juice is potem in challah. So the Rishalmi seems to present the reason for that possible story. Whether we pass it, Rishalmi now is a different story. But the possible smart to be posed there, fruit juice and flour from challah, is based on the following. The Torah says that the only way to create a sheer tziruf between all the flour that I'm using, I'm taking bags and bags of flour, I'm mixing them together. Why do we view this as one entity? Why don't we say this is one challah roll, this is another challah roll. Why do we view this whole clump that's sitting in my mixing bowl as one entity? So that's a special halacha, that flour and water mix together. Flour and water form a unit together. They said, oh, chastuma, the details are for now. Flour and water mixed together to form a unit, to form an entity. When you have a big, big dough of flour and water together, so alzeh ne'emar, the shear of arisa seichem. That's 43 and a fifth eggs. If you have flour that's mixed together with fruit juice, so a pi halacha, based on some technical halacha in terms of chastuma's ochlin, so fruit juice doesn't do the trick. When you have a mixture of flour and fruit juice, so we view it as, this is one piece of flour, there's another piece of flour, another piece of another piece. It's not an entity, it's not a unit. The reason why fruit juice is a potter from challah is not intrinsically because fruit juice is potter. It's not because it's a chisorin in the shem isa. It's not a chisorin in the shem lechem of the yasiyah. It's a chisorin in the shiur. It's a chisorin in the shiur tziruf. Fruit juice doesn't have the ability to be mitzarek, so the piece of flour together to form the required shiur of 43 and a fifth eggs. If so, if that's the nature of the halacha, that fruit juice and flour is a pachas the shiur type of halacha, we're trying to be done on qualitatively what's called bread, what's not called bread, what's called eats, what's not called, what's called tana, not called lechem, etc. So that's that topic. We're not going to confuse the issue by throwing in pachas b'kashir. You want to confuse the issue of pachas b'kashir, forget the fruit juice. I'll tell you regular pachas b'kashir. So the same way that regular pachas
b'kashir
is a chisorin to the tziruf. That's the lashon of the Yerushalmi, that the may parents are not mechaber together, not mechaber together. So if that's the nature of the divinity of Yerushalmi, that's what the Rosh is talking about. So my Indian death, our sugya, totally irrelevant. So I know, I feel a chlish adas. We took on the drisha, and we took on the mangan avram. So we it appears that we rejected both of these pshatim and the sugadoli achronim. The bad news is that we don't have any work in pshat the Torah, that we don't have conceptually a way to explain the Torah. That the Lefidia's idea, I believe the Torah, the Torah Chiyin Gadol, I can't explain away how it can be that Shrisa is putting in a chali, it turned around and make a motu. We have no precedent, but I lost with that. It seems to contradict everything we know about the chalim of his brothers. We shouldn't feel like we're in such a bad company. The Torah is not acceptable, Allah. Nobody possibly takes the Torah. The Shulchan Aruch didn't quote the Torah. All the Rishonim disagree with the Torah. Later, Chorim say, how can he possibly take the Torah? He said, we don't understand it. Not only is it problematic in the text of Agamara, he has to do a lot of work in the gears of Agamara, but conceptually it's very, very difficult. So we're going to assume for now, like with regular Rishonim, like standard conventional wisdom, that that which the Gemara says, that trees is potem in challah, it's potem in challah, there's no hamotzi, never. That which the Gemara says, you make hamotzi on something, that's talking about shruklin, it's like it's talking about trisa. Trisa is forget about it. Trisa is not lechem, it's not east, it's gone, there's nothing, no challah, no hamotzi, nothing. The whole discussion of the Gemara of Brachas is only vis-a-vis shruklin. So if you go that route of all the other Mishonim, then you don't have to defend the Torah. You reject the Torah. But a kopon of this sheet is a Torah, this seemingly strange sheet is a Torah. Let's we'll hold the deal of the Yechronim to the Drish and the Mangan Avram and try to bring the Ash of the Dibri Torah. And even if we didn't necessarily come with a conclusion about the word of the Torah, I think it did shed a significant light on the relationship between Chala and Brachas, which is only going to help us as we proceed through the Sugya.